Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Bob.
I have an announcement here.
Well, all right then.
Registration is open for a new open air type radio show, Your Best Shape Possible, on Wednesdays from May 6th to June 10th. The show will offer support for keeping the commitments that take care of us. For these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one, I got to tell you. I'm probably working on my commitments.
Oh, that's great. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
All right, how about if we talk to some callers here, Sherry?
All right.
First caller, you're now live on the air, and will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry, this is Deepa.
Hello, Deepa.
I am so happy to be here. I would first like to offer blessings of love and respect to the guide for April 18th and for the gift of the workshop.
Oh, well, thank you very much. That I thought that was a very fun workshop, didn't you?
I did. Mm-hmm. Well, there are several layers of experience, at least for me, not the least of which was participating, being in that space of receiving this offering, right? Receiving this offering, which seems strange because it was a gift from the guide, and the sangha, as part of the sangha, the feeling was one wanted to offer the gift for the guide. So maybe showing up was the gift for practice.
Yes, yes. So. Oh, yes, absolutely. So my teacher would say, the only way we can, he said it better than this, but this is a gist. The only way we can repay this is with the same coin. So the only way we can say thank you for practice is to practice. Yeah, that's how we express our gratitude and our appreciation. We do it. Yeah,
I'm very grateful, and I would like to take the guides offered up from our beginner's mind workshop on projection to work out something.
Yeah, sure. See?
Thank you. So this is where I got stuck, and I've been stuck in this place before as well. I had a great workshop in the sense that I saw through something that I hadn't seen before. But this, the next place is where I got stuck, which is when we did the last exercise. And is it okay to just say it even though people...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. So when we did the last exercise about changing the what self-hate says about you so if it says you are dash dash something really bad, awful, then we changed it to self-hate is that.
Yes.
So where I'm getting confused is when we were asked, what's a positive projection or something negative about somebody or positive about somebody, and then I own that projection, and then how that, and if I am identified with ego, which is self-hate, then do I pass it along? So I think that's where I am not.
Wow, that is subtle and great. Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. So if I say, he, she, they are really not very kind. Mm-hmm. That is one mean person.
Mm-hmm.
So self-hate wants me to own that projection, right? And say, I am really mean. I'm a mean person. Now, there's some value in that, because actually I have been mean on occasion, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But where does that come from? What was I identified with when I was acting that way, when I was being a mean person? Was I coming from center? Was I coming from authentic nature? Or was I coming from ego?
Mm.
Now, I'm going to say I was identified with ego, mm-hmm. because I've never had an experience of being in unconditional love and acceptance and calling somebody mean or seeing mm-hmm. somebody as mean, right? Mm-hmm. And so the way, with what the direction that you're going with this is that then I would be in that same place of realizing, oh, I was identified with self-hate. And identified with self-hate, I saw that person as mean.
Mm.
Self-hate is, in fact, mean. And when I identify with it, I can own that projection, but it's not, in quotes, me. Mm. It's the identification with the self-hatred that is ego.
Oh, that's completely tracking, Cherry. Thank you.
Does that clear it up? Does that speak to it?
It absolutely does. I think yeah. the process, the place that I came to at the workshop, which was huge for me, is watching that place, watching where I am when that process of owning the projection happens, whether positive or negative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there resistance to owning the projection? Am I overeager to own that projection? You know, what happens for me around when we're asked to own a projection, and I see that previously, or up until this moment, the subtle process that was happening for me was, oh, I don't have to own this negative projection. I'll just pass it right along to ego. So I am off the hook. There was an I that wanted yeah. to be off the hook, which mm-hmm. is also something that's identified with, which is identified
with. That's yeah. right. It's also identified with ego.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so we, and that's when we get to that place of who's watching it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Who's seeing all of that happen? And who's seeing all of that happen from a place of, what would we say? Is it equanimity? Is it interest? Is it, it's just interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're no longer identified with somebody who believes any of that has anything to do with them.
Yes, the visual I have is like a tennis umpire sitting in the middle watching the
yes.
two duke it out.
Yes.
Or maybe there are more than one.
A whole bunch.
Ping ponging, yeah. Yes.
Yes. And in fact, that's a really interesting piece of it, isn't it? Because what we are tempted to do, or which again comes from all the same process, what we're tempted to do is say, oh, okay, so that was an ego identification. So that's not me. And then, as you pointed out, it's like, who said that?
Mm.
Who is interested in, well, it's not me. Don't get
yes.
that all over me.
Gotcha.
I got nothing to do with that.
Yep.
Right? And we
mm-hmm.
see another identification.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're in the process and just interested in the process, then we can see all kinds of things playing out that, you know, clearly we don't get to see when we're assuming that what we're seeing and what we're hearing is true.
Yes. Yes. Or what we're seeing and hearing up to a point, to your point just now, you come to a place where it's convenient for me to drop off. So when I see an up to a point, and then I come to that place of, well, that's not me. And then I just, it's convenient for the ego at that place to okay, pat my hands and, okay, that's done. I can
that's,
now go
yeah,
off.
Yeah. Exactly. It's not me. It's ego.
And then just, yeah, dust my hand. And then, but, you know, when I come to a convenient, when ego comes to a convenient place to stop the inquiry, that's when I'm attached, right? There is an attachment.
That's but right. And that's when we want to pay really close attention.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When that feeling of, okay, I got it. Okay, yeah, I see. We want to be really suspicious of that one.
Yeah.
And you know, Deepa, that's why the secret to this whole thing is to be fascinated by it. Because as long as we're taking any of it personally, we can know there's going to be a whole bunch of stuff we're not going to see. Yeah. We're not just not going to be allowed to see it. We won't be able to see it because we'll be so caught up in it.
Mm. Oh, that's great. And the fascination, I can see that I can come to that place of fascination when, as our workshop this weekend, there's no self-hate. When I'm absolutely even if I can just set that aside and say, okay, for a day now, we're not engaging with that, and I'm going to just be in fascination or not going to take it personally, that feels available.
Yes, and that's the importance of keeping awareness practice front and center. Because what you're describing there is I bring conscious awareness to it, and I'm able to not get identified with self-hatred. That is possible for me.
Mm.
Okay, at least in that gross, I can easily recognize it. You know, voices are calling me names, that level of it. And then there's so much of life where we're not bringing that level of conscious awareness to it. We're just humming along. And I think we talked about it this morning. We're humming along, and just right under the surface of conscious awareness, there's all this ego maintenance going on. The meanings, the conclusions, the names, the whole structure is being held in place in this kind of subliminal conversation in conditioned mind.
Which
argues for those timers and alarms.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And just a lot is that subliminal place that you were speaking about. Like you said, it's especially dangerous when I think I am paying attention.
that's exactly right. And when I think I'm paying attention, and I'm invested. In something.
Yes.
I'm paying attention, and that means something. There's I've got an axe that I'm grinding.
Yes.
That's the really, really dangerous one, or the really, really interesting one. You know, if we're not taking it personally, if we're not trying to get it right, if we're trying to see rather than get it right.
Yes. Oh,
It's a whole different thing, right? I want to see it, no matter what it is. None of it has anything to do with me.
Yeah, that's the great. I had an experience of it just this afternoon, and exactly that. There was an investment. There was an axe to grind. Then when it happens afterwards, the no reviews place, right? Then if I don't take it personally, there's no self-hate.
That's right.
Oh, okay. I see. There's someone that. So that is so helpful, even if I'm not able to see it in the moment.
Oh, yes. The seeing it in the moment, that's a kind of icing on the cake or the cherry on the top or something, right?
Yes.
Most of the time it happens afterwards because, again, I think we talked about this morning, we get to see the whole thing, and there we are in it. Right,
yes.
We're not seeing it in that step back, disidentified way, but we're seeing it kind of from the inside of being a part of it. And then a little time goes by, and now there's the clarity. You know, it's like you go to a play or a movie, and you're right there with it. And then afterwards, the insights start dropping in. Now, you might have thought, well, I know what the movie is about, right? I was there. I saw it all. But then these insights start dropping in, and you realize, oh, there's so much more to it.
Yes.
And that's what happens with us in, you know, going around in life and having conversations with people or doing work or whatever it is that we're doing. And then when we provide the silence, the solitude, the spaciousness for it, then the insights will come to us, will show us.
I am so grateful, Sherry. It's certainly been my experience. It's very moving to me.
Yeah.
And
me too.
Deeply grateful for the guidance and for this practice. Thank you.
Yeah. Me too. It's I mean, I think we all say it all the time. You know, well, we know where we would be without this practice.
Mm-hmm.
It's where we were before practice.
Yes. Right?
And so we do know. Yeah.
I was not that hot where we were, but I was at least before practice.
Yeah. So grateful indeed. Yes. Thank you, Deepa.
Thank you. Gosho.
Gosho.
Thank you for joining us, Deepa. And Sherry, there's just so much I appreciated about that conversation. But the thing that's really sticking out to me in the moment is what a kind of a modeling of practice that was, of like looking and looking and looking and discerning and just seeing what is dropping in. And it just seemed like I'm going to have to listen to that again, but I really appreciated that.
Yeah. Yes. The patience, the... you know, respect is the word that just dropped in, and I wouldn't have thought of that, but I can see it. You know that there's an eagerness, but not a greediness.
Mm.
You know, to just be willing and to be patient for as long as we need to be. To be in that right place at the right time, to see what we need to see. It's very reverent, right? Respectful.
Yeah, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Sherry, I'm going to bring on our next caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Todd. I'm Gabriela. Hi, Bob. Hi, Sherry.
Hello, Todd.
Hello. Just enjoying a beautiful spring rain. I don't know if you're in the same weather system, but I just was planting the garden, and we just got this beautiful rain.
Yes, we. I think we are sharing weather.
Yes.
We just had two or three stunning days, almost a little too hot. And then, blessedly, it kind of cooled off today, and we got a little moisture and...
Yeah,
it's wonderful when the timing is like that, right?
Right.
So we've had enough hot, sunny. We're ready for that cool rain, and here it comes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just, we had some really warm, sunny days as well, and I was transplanting some seedlings, and life quickly told me, oh, you don't do that in the sun. They don't like it, and they quickly drooped. And I had to get a little shade for them. And I'm so inspired by all the work that's being done on the 25-acre farm. I forget what it's called. Longview?
Longview Farm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I read all the write-ups, and I take great inspiration. And this year is very unique. I'm at a new place, and I've been without a garden for a couple of years. I was at a farm at my other place where I had 3 acres to take care of. And this new place has about half acre. It's a huge garden. And the homeowners came to me about a month ago and said, we've got some illnesses in our family. We're going to have to travel all summer, and we're not able to plant and care for the garden. Do you want to take it over? And I jumped for joy.
Okay.
And I went and looked, and I had I've been harvesting seeds for years now, and I took a box from the farm. I shared it with the previous homeowners, and I looked at it, and I had about 100 packages of harvested seeds. And I just just so much delight in. And we have a little greenhouse on our new property. And as I was watching the process of germinating seeds and putting them in little, you know, little dirt pods, and then transferring them and then preparing the outside garden, it just so reminded me of all the work implementation I used to do at the Zen Master Peace Center in Murphy's, and I worked in the garden a lot. I got that assignment, I don't know how, because it was one of my favorite working meditation assignments. And the garden supervisor just taught me so much, or life, about gardening that I've used ever since. And I'm just so grateful for those many, many experiences.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I will tell you this then, Todd, because I know you will appreciate it. I brought home, I was at the farm today, working at the farm today, and I brought home two trays of basil.
Yes.
Probably, basil. I'm taking on, this is my most ambitious project ever, because I have never been a gardener. It's one of those, I should have been in my line of work. You're supposed to love to garden. Yeah. Never did.
never did.
But the food bank here wants basil, and it doesn't seem to do well at the farm. And so I've decided that I'm going to take it on so it has special care. And so I brought home two big flats of newly planted seeds today. I've got one flat that's already about 3/4 of an inch tall.
Lovely.
You know, probably 75 plants.
I can picture it.
Yeah, so it's kind of like having children or something. I don't know. I feel like I have all these babies and they start to grow and it's lovely. It's life, right?
It's life. Right.
And we're getting to participate. We're being first midwives and then nannies and parents and wonderful.
That's a great analogy that, they're like our children, because it's so true. 90% of the garden is going to be seeds germinated to, to seedlings and then transplanted. And it's a daily participation. You can't really leave, they'll dry out, those little seed, those little squares, they'll dry out in the day in the greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got it's such a great metaphor for practice gardening. And I loved how it was discussed this Sunday on the workshop, International Day of No Self-Hate. And one of the suggestions was, plant a garden. And I was just invited to do it. And it is a great way to see practice at work.
Yes. Yeah. You're required to be so attentive.
Right,
and you're doing it from love.
Right, you're doing it for love. You're required to pay attention, and there's always, what's the now step? Because there's so many steps, isn't there? But what is the now step? Am I turning over the garden? Am I adding compost? Am I making rows? Am I, what is the now step? And I just love walking to the garden, going, hey, life, what's the now step? Oh, want to water the seedlings. Perfect, I'll go do that. And then, want to transplant those tomato plants. Great, I'll do that. And then, we've got some bedding out plants, got some annuals. Great, we'll get some geraniums in and some, petunias and some snapdragons and just gorgeous.
And the other point that you made, you can't wander off.
No.
Right? Because if you do, bad things happen to people you love.
Yes.
And so if we see that and apply that to ourselves, right? I don't want to wander off and leave this person unattended.
Yeah.
Bad things will happen.
Yeah. I hadn't seen that. That's so true. It's so true. It's so beautiful. It always comes back to inside us is what we're cultivating, that loving kindness. And going beyond self-hate and having the inner critic removed, which was fun to talk. I love that send out in that email about the surgery and the inner critic removed and then all the little healing practices. It was so brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
It just totally, for me, describe the whole process of going beyond selfie in a medical scenario.
And like, so this there's that way of describing it, and then there's the gardening way of describing it.
Right.
Where there just isn't room enough for self-hatred. There are just too many other things to focus on. There's just too much love to have and to share, to want to waste any time on something so negative.
Yes. I'm almost been away tending to family members who have been quite ill, and they've been gone for 2 weeks. And a lot, you know, in 2 weeks you can transform a lot, especially in spring. And they're coming back Thursday, and I'm just curious to see that they're, because this is my first summer with them and with the garden, and I'd be really curious to see their delight, because they are big gardeners, and they're vegetarians, and we often talked about, you know, veggies and growing our own food, and they were so disappointed they weren't able to participate in the garden. But when I said I'd take it over there, just multitudes of gratitude my way. But it's just it's an honor and a pleasure to do it on my part.
That gratitude goes in two directions.
Right.
It's what we call a good contract. Everybody thinks they're getting the best deal.
You know, they're offering this gorgeous half-acre property, and I get to tend it and steward it as I would when I visit the monastery. When I was doing a lot of the visiting monk programs, I was a steward of the property and was just did anything that was asked of me. And I took a lot of practical life skills with me from all those working meditations.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks, Sherry. Thank you, Bob. Again for the Sunday workshop and celebrating your birthday. That was wonderful. And like we said, practice, where would we be without practice? Like we were before. And I don't even want to think back, Sherry.
Yeah,
I don't think I'd be here, to be honest with you, the road I was going down, I don't know if I'd physically be here. Self-hate had a huge grip on me, death grip, to be honest.
And if you were here, you probably would, the odds are good, you would not be in the experience of contentment and loving kindness and gratitude that you're experiencing now. So, it's very good. We know how lucky we are.
Yeah, absolutely. And just a quick Otter, the cat that I inherited, we went for our yearly checkup, and he's healthy, and the vet's very pleased with him. And she said he's getting excellent care. So just wanted to let you know about that little black and white tuxedo cat. He's so wonderful, and he brings so much joy. And that's another whole radio show and another whole talk, but I just love all the projection I put on him about his life experience. It's nonstop.
Yes.
You're doing it, and you that, and how do you, and he come in, and I go, I talk to him all the time, and then he, you know, and I go, oh, really? And what happened then? And then we have these ongoing conversations, and he looks at me, and I'm projecting ridiculously all over him.
It's one of those where you can also ask him what he enjoys most about you, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's like asking the tree, do you love me? Or I love you, do you
exactly
love me?
Exactly so.
I say to the cat, Otter, do you love me? I love you, do you love me? And he'll go, meow. I do. Well, thanks again, Sherry.
All right. Thank
Always
you, Todd.
Always a pleasure to
Take
chat.
Care.
You
Go
too.
Happy.
Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Todd. And Sherry, we're going to go to Good News Updates.
All right.
And Jen, your guest is now live, and I'll turn it over to you.
Excellent. Thanks, Bob. And I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Laura, who is here to speak with us about her experience of recording and listening about at the end of the day about what's working. Welcome, Laura.
Hello.
Thanks for being with us.
Hello.
So, yes, a fabulous practice. Tell us about what you've been practicing with in your recording and listening.
Yeah, so as you just said, this was a practice I had, it's a while ago now, before the pandemic, when I used to physically go to work, I would be walking back, from taking the train home, and I got into a practice at one point of recording about what went well at work that day. And I started picking it back up maybe a year ago or something. Because I usually will go for a walk after work. And I've kind of expanded it now. I don't just say what went well at work, but just everything in the day. What went well? And yeah, I find that it's helpful because I think that the first instinct that I often have or the first impulse is to talk about what's wrong, which I think is also helpful. And typically the way that I do it is first I talk about what went well. So I just ask myself, what went well today? And then I just look and see all the things. And then if there's something that I'm struggling with, which is often something, you know, that's challenging or whatever that I want to talk through, then I'll often on that same recording or a new recording then talk through that. But I think that it's helpful because it kind of forces me to shift that focus.
Yeah.
And because oftentimes even as I'm talking about the day, it'll be like, oh, this went really well. I like this. And then, you know, I'll hit something where, oh, that was challenging. But sort of my practice is, okay, leave that for after. Right now.
Yeah.
But went well.
Yeah, because what strikes me as you're talking about it, Laura, is it's really a practice of getting here at the end of your day, right? So, I mean, first of all, we've talked so often in practice about how transitions are a place where ego's out to get us, right? Okay, time to go unconscious, right? And so consciously having a practice that's bringing you to presence, and then it's so interesting the thing that you're saying, like the first impulse is to that, like, oh, you know, what's wrong, right? But it reminds me of that thing Sherry used to say to people. Someone will call in and say, I'm in the queue because the voices don't want me to. And she would often remind us, well, actually, the very first thing that happened is the insight, you know, the moment of get in the queue, right? That's the first thing. And then it's so quick that ego comes in, the voices come in with the negativity, that feels like the first thing. So in your case, it's like it drops in, time to record and listen. So that brief, tiny little coming here, right, to be reminded it's time to do it. And then you're so right that so often the very first thing is, oh, yeah, but I mean, it wasn't that great of a day or, you know, whatever it is. So consciously starting with what's working, and then it sounds like in that, invariably, there are things that were challenging in the day. Those come up, and they're sort of that great, we'll put that over there, and then consciously get to that second.
Yes, it makes it, in a way, it makes it very, because I have that practice, it makes it very clear, like the, it kind of puts a container around it of like, oh, that's something that I'm struggling with, like, but that's not everything, in a way.
Right. Because when you say that, it reminds me of the, you know, instead of looking through it, you're looking at it. Right. So instead of being identified with the thing, what's wrong, instead of looking through that lens, you're going to sort of metaphorically hold the hand of the person who's feeling that way about it and get to look at it from presence.
Yeah, it creates a little bit of distance, it seems like, a little bit of perspective moment.
Yeah. Yeah, and I imagine always with those sorts of things, always the opportunity to use the interview technique.
Yeah. I hadn't formally done that, but I think it's often along those lines, you know, kind of what's going on and what's, you know. But I may have to add that.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so really just starting with that focus on all the things that you said, it started with work, but then sort of now it's more global. What went well in the day?
Yeah, and so it's a chance for appreciation, you know. There's like exercises I try to do a couple times a week at lunchtime. So get to celebrate if I did those, and you look for those things, or and then also just in the moment, you know. And here I am walking, and the sky is blue, and there's these cute dogs, and you know.
Because it's so easy to overlook the gazillion things that are going well.
Yeah, and I didn't know before when I suggested this topic that this week's, for those of us in the year-long retreat, this week's assignment fits in very well.
Yeah, it does. Say more.
Well, what you were just saying about not seeing sort of, I think in the assignment it's something about not seeing the obvious, you know, not seeing what we're surrounded by. And then I think talking what's working is something that's referenced in the assignment. And yeah, and I'm just remembering as we're talking about this that I think that one of the reasons why I started doing this after work and was that I noticed that every day after work, the story was always, you didn't do enough. It wasn't enough. It wasn't good enough. It wasn't. And that was kind of the story that was carried through, or the energy. And so just to interrupt that. And so it kind of struck what you said about a transition, right? That it is a transition, and to sort of not let ego have that. You know, of like, oh, I'm tired, and oh, you know, the things I didn't get done, or, you know. To look at,
I was just going to say, that's so big, right? Because when you were saying that, it's like, it's really like breaking an addiction, right? So there's this cycle that's just this habit of work ends, and the voices are like, great, this is where we cue us coming in to tell you everything that you did wrong today, that went wrong today, that's, you know, always going to be like this, you know, all the things. And that almost becomes this sort of addictive cycle. It just happens over and over and over. And so doing something to consciously interrupt it, I'm going to guess that at least in the beginning, there was probably some decent resistance to doing it.
Yeah,
because that's going to, you know, that's going to really throw a monkey wrench in its ability to control your experience if what you're training for is at the end of the day, instead of cue that negativity and get really identified with everything that's wrong, the practice is, the training becomes, end of the day is a cue to come back here and look at everything that went well, everything that I'm grateful for, all the beauty that I'm surrounded by, all, you know, putting the attention here in the moment.
And I, for some reason, this is dropping in. I read a book at one point about, I can't remember which one it's in. Anyway, there's one that's called Designing Your Life, and one that's called Designing Your Work Life. But it's about work, and I remember they have a practice where you, at the end of the day, you notice something like, who did you help? What did you start? Like, there are some different specific things where researchers found that if you notice those things, you're more satisfied at work.
Yes. And what a global process that is, right? Again, we're so trained to think of all the things that didn't get finished, that didn't get started, we truly don't realize constantly how much is happening in life, how much we are surrounded by, how much is working.
Yeah, and another form of this has taken for me over the years. At one point I was doing hourly recordings, and at least for part of that time, what I was doing was like, what's working right now, or what's going well. And so, similar process to doing it daily. But one thing that I noticed was, I remember at one point listening back to recordings from a time that I was struggling with health opportunities, and it was a difficult time. But I was listening back to recordings from that time, and it was all my hourly, you know, what's going well. And just hearing that, like, the lit upness and the, you know, and it was just surprising to see, like, yeah, there was that, but there was also this, like.
Yeah, truly. Yeah, what a testament to really the quality of our life is determined by the focus of our attention. There you have it.
Yeah,
what a great practice. And I love when, as Sangha, I mean, I was really looking at this in terms of the, someone just mentioned again, the assignment from Sunday. For me, the main prescription right now is Sangha. That is the answer to all of it. And I love how Sangha will periodically bring these things forward, right? What a brilliant idea to record at the end of the day. And you can know that for whatever period of time following this interview, there are going to be a whole bunch of us picking up that practice for some period of time, you know? And that's just it. We just each keep, there's so many of us practicing all the different things and all the different ways that one person brings it back forward and offers it to all of us again. I just love that process.
Yeah.
It's fun. Well, thanks for being with us today to talk about it, Laura.
Thank you.
All right. Go happy. And Bob, we'll turn it back over to you and Sherry.
Thank you, Jen. And thank you, Laura. And Sherry, I really enjoyed that conversation. That what dropped in for me is like at least one thing going on there is like us setting ourselves up for presence, you know, like putting ourselves in a place where it's pretty hard not to wake up in that moment.
Yeah. I love the you know, the idea of recording everything that went well at the end of the day. And when Laura mentioned the doing it every hour, talk about a life changer. If people would do that, I bet for a week, set the alarm for every hour and record about everything that went well in the previous hour, everything that they enjoy, everything that they see, that they like, any of that kind of thing. And then that sets you up for the next hour, right? And then at the end of that, and just then at the end of the day, what is your life experience having done that?
Right.
I think that would be outrageously transformative.
Yeah, I think so. All right, Sherry, I'm going to bring on another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Greta.
Hey, Greta.
Hi. You caught me trying to put a screw in... in the wall here.
And now you have to put your screwdriver down.
Yep.
And
I am.
And pay attention to this. And it's just, that's it. It's just one thing after another, isn't it? I'm attending to that. And
yep.
Now I'm attending to this.
Yep.
And now I,
And often we just don't even have a plan because it is that quick.
Yes. Yeah, we couldn't keep up with what now. If we tried to say what now, the moment is past by the time we get what now out of our mouths. Right?
In fact, what I'm experiencing is this whole going backwards. Like this whole spring I've been thinking I'm doing something and that's going to lead to the next thing, and then that's why I'm putting the screw back. I had to undo and redo something completely again. It's like time is rewinding.
And I project you're okay with that.
Well, I'll tell you, there are some things that, like if I just see it for myself and I can say, well, even if Mercury's not retrograde, I am, you know, something like that, and I can let it go. And then there's a lot of other things that are just, you know, knock the stuffing out of me.
Well, yes. So two things I'll tell you. Somebody was telling me recently that we know Mercury isn't retrograde, but they got so curious about but how could things be so difficult if Mercury is not retrograde? And mm-hmm. they found out that astrologically, actually, it's an incredibly tumultuous time with
yeah.
the this's and the that's and the dark of the moon and the hoo-hoo and the whatever. And
yep.
And we feel it and we're sensitive to it. And people can roll
yep.
their eyes and go, oh, that's nonsense. But we are sentient beings and we are sentient. The fact that we have learned not to pay attention to it doesn't mean it goes away. It just
that, yeah.
means, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think you were going to tell me one other thing, but whatever.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
It just goes away. Yeah.
It goes away, exactly. And, you know, I think for me, I just have to keep going back to gratitude and to just see and just keep looking. I mean, that's what we're practicing this year. And I got some bad news and then it just kept compounding, and then, you know, other things get revealed and I'm just kind of in shock about all of it. And then it's just like, well, I don't know. You know, we can go to all the koans we've been looking at, and they're all so perfect for, well, I guess, you know, maybe yes, maybe no, I'll wait and see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, and thank God for that, right? Because, well, and thank you, that is where I was going, right?
Mm.
With the added element of the recognition that we have from doing practice that it's all for us.
Mm-hmm.
So it, whatever it is, you know, we're so, as you know, we're so conditioned, so trained to live our lives in this very childish belief that if we do things right, we will get the reward. Things will go our way. It'll be easy. We'll stay healthy and live forever, right? Nothing is. Yeah, and every time we get information that that's not the case, we're trained to see it as a tragedy. It's a trauma. It's a horrible thing that probably shouldn't be happening. That's wrong. And when we move out of that and into the very, I would say, radical notion that everything that happens in our lives is a gift to us because it's going to show us how quickly we will bail on the human being when something happens that doesn't fit the program of how life should be.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah, what I was seeing when you were saying that, just reflecting back on how I started with things going backwards, is that very thing. That, you know, I put some practice in place. I think that means that's going to be in place forever and that things are going to go a certain way. And then when I get the big surprise, yeah, I could bail on this person. And, you know, it feels horrible. But I don't want to bail on this person because I don't want to bail on the other person who's also struggling with the whole situation. But it takes a little while to wrench my head around to get back here and say, okay, just breathe,
yes.
just slow down.
Yes, because again, what it puts us in touch with is the depth of that conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So all of our lives, but you know, the good news update was kind of on that. Right, we are. It's radical to get to the end of the day and look back at the day and review everything that went well, everything that was good about the day. That's not what people do. People get to the end of the day. You walk in. There's the person you live with. If you live with someone, otherwise you're talking to your dog or your cat or whatever it is. And what are you talking about? You know, the thing that went wrong today. The what was difficult, what was hard. And what we don't realize is that doesn't, so if I do that to you, I walk in and I just download the crappiness of my day on you, I am taught to believe that I then feel better. Like I have, we even have an expression, right? I've unburdened myself. Okay, so all I've actually done is abandon me and dump a bunch of stuff onto you, right? It doesn't do any good for anybody. Well, and that's the process that somehow we think is going to sustain and support us through life.
Yes. Yeah. I watch it in myself to say, well, if I just share, like, I watch the compulsion to share this news, whatever it is. I watch it, and then, you know, people ask, well, why are you being so quiet? What's going on? And then, you know, you say whatever you say. But I don't feel any relief about it unless I just settle down with myself. I don't feel any relief saying it out loud to somebody else because they don't know what I'm really feeling, even if best I try to explain.
That's exactly right. And they can love you like crazy. And it still doesn't make any difference because of that very subtle place that we're discussing, which is you have left yourself. And there's nobody who's going to make that up to you. It's just never going to happen. And so training ourselves in the way that we're encouraged to do in practice, which is always being with the human being, always being in loving kindness, always being in compassion, never allowing the self-hatred to get to the person. That's the training that will sustain and support us right through our last breath.
Yes. And I am grateful that I know who to call. There's a number I can call, and there's a radio show or more than one. And yes, I can connect with practice, and I know that. And that is kind of this thing that sustains me.
Yeah.
The faith. Yeah. Faith that sustains me.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, we have each other and we have practice. That's what the Buddha, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. You need the practice, you need the people, you need the clarity to choose those. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Go
Take
happy.
Good care. Go happy.
Thank you for joining us, Greta. And Sherry, I'm going to bring on another caller here.
All right. Thank you, Bob.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
This is Bev.
Hey, Bev.
Just good evening. It's all these wonderful insights from people tonight. I've had an observation about, and it's really been fun, setting my timers. You know, we're encouraged to set the timers. And this week, you know, every time it goes off, am I in abundance? And I do this all the time. So the people that are around me on a regular basis, they're used to all my timers going. I've got alarms going off all day long. And
Beth's practice. It's just what she does.
They do. I mean, it's like no big deal. But people from time to time, especially if I'm out somewhere, will say, well, you know, what was that for? And I'll just tell them, well, you know, it's part of an ongoing thing I'm doing with this group, the Sangha I follow, of, you know, noticing abundance. Every time this goes off, I'm supposed to stop and notice, am I in abundance or not? And most of the time people are just like, oh, that's interesting. But then now I've noticed my husband during the day, when it goes off, he'll come in and tell me something. You know, I don't ask anybody to join me. I don't make any step. I just tell them what I'm doing. But I'm noticing, especially that abundance, they'll go, oh, yeah, you know, we are. And they will, many times on their own, just offer me, you know, join in with me. And it's just, it's just been fun watching that, you know, unfold as I move through my
day. Oh, and so heartwarming. You know, I mean, with the people that we love, we want good things for them, right? We want them, let's face it, we want them to do this practice, that we see as so transformative for ourselves and has changed our lives such that we are happier and more contented and more fulfilled than we probably ever thought we would be. And we just wish that for everybody, right? So there, there you are. You're not trying to convert the guy, right? You're not proselytizing. You're not telling him there's something wrong with him, and if he would do this, he would be happier, right? But you're just doing what you're doing, and he sees you doing it, and he sees you changing, and he knows you're happier, right? And he knows that you're not putting any pressure on him to be any different from how he is. But I'll bet you he also knows that you're way more accepting of him, right? Yeah. More present with him and more compassionate.
Well,
so
what you just what I had
naturally
done in the
joined
past, in. Yeah, in the past, you know, when I first discovered, you know, as you go on your path of awareness, I do want it. All those things you described, I did used to do. It's like, you should try this and all this. Is, mm-hmm. And all that does is make a person feel like you think something's wrong with them.
Exactly.
They need to be improved. You know?
Yes, and, exactly.
And this is mm-hmm. so much easier. You know, when I've made the decision, I'm going to live my life and follow my path. And whoever I crossed or whoever joins me or whatever, but that is not up to me. And boy, you talk about taking a load off of me of thinking I have to say, you know, I have to,
yeah.
you know, because
yeah.
that's what I was taught as a child. It's my job to go out and be an example and save all these souls. And it's like, no. And
no.
It's just, yeah, it's been a lot of fun having that mm-hmm. guidance to just do something simple like setting your bells, and just it takes 30 seconds or a minute to stop and think, oh, well, what's going on right now? And
yeah.
just it's been a lot of fun practicing yeah. with abundance this week.
Yeah. Well, and I think just recently, I can't remember now if it's Leo Tolstoy or if it's Gandhi, but the quote about, you know, everybody or a lot of people want to change the world, but very few people want to change themselves.
Yeah.
And that's what you said is exactly it. You know, if I want to save you, it's because I think there's something wrong with you and you need to be saved. Right?
Yeah.
And so what does that come down to? Well, I'm projecting my wrongness onto you.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to try to fix my wrongness that I'm projecting onto you in you. And if we start catching on to that, then we realize, okay, if I'm seeing something wrong, I'm seeing it. I'm projecting it. And so if I clean that up here, I won't be seeing it out there. And that is what my teacher would call being a social relief.
Yeah.
Right? You're just taking care of yourself. You don't need anything from other people. You're not that burden on other people, and you're not expecting anything from them other than they're whoever they are.
Right.
They're doing
their own
practice.
Yeah. And another point that was brought up recently that helped me in this area is when I am wanting to project or make judgments about other people, if I will stop, that's what conditioning is doing to me.
Yes.
And
oh gosh.
That's what
yeah.
conditioning's given me.
Yeah.
And
I wanna
project it outward, and that has made such a huge difference. It's like, well, no, that's conditioning talking to me
yeah.
and I'm trying to take it out there. No, let's just put it all away and go on our merry way.
Let's end it right here. And you know
yes.
that again, when you describe that, we can see the why of it. Right? So self-hate is after me. And how am I going to get out from under that? Well, I'm going to dump it on you, right? You know, whether I
yeah.
say it or not. I'm just going to take that and focus it on you, and then I feel better because I have a little relief from that. And when we see that that is really bogus and really is not helping me or anybody else, then, as you say, we really realize. And the other thing about it, Bev, that's so, I think is so fabulous, we realize how easy it is.
Yes. Right. If we go through that whole process, I'm projecting it on you, and I think this is what's wrong with you, and I then need to fix you and show you the light and all of that. If I just realize, whoa, this is me. You know, I'm projecting all this stuff. I need to handle it in here. What we get with practice is how easy that is, because it's just a matter of redirecting the attention.
Right.
I don't need to be in that conversation. I don't need to be feeling that way. I know how to focus on what I want to be focused on.
And then it also takes me out, like when I am looking at someone and wondering, well, why are they behaving the way they are? You know, I don't understand. Or I can think, well, this is what their conditioning is saying to them, and they're projecting it out.
Yes.
You know, that's how they're being. So it just covers everything.
Covers everything.
Not anybody but me.
Exactly. And we don't even need to worry about ourselves. We just need to apply to ourselves. You know, we just need to treat ourselves the way we've always wanted to be treated. And then the natural result is we start treating other people that way.
Right. And then it prompts me to talk to myself in ways that support me. And, you know, I make an effort to do that with recording or just different things.
Yeah.
It's just a full circle, and it just covers everything. So
covers everything.
I'm
very,
very grateful for the guidance to set alarms.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, there's all the resistance. I mean, people talk endlessly about the resistance to it, and then when we finally get over that, boom, and just settle into, oh my God, this is the best thing that I've ever done for myself.
Yeah, it sure has been fun. So gosh,
thank you, Bev.
Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Bev, and sharing another great conversation. And to me, I'm just kind of led to that place where, like, that no matter, you know, if I'm noticing anything outside that seems wrong, I really need to follow that back here and see what I'm being told is wrong. And especially before I go out and engage in the world and try and fix it.
It, that just that simple notion of, well, let me clean up everything here. let me get this all cleaned up, and then I'll see if I have time and energy left over, if there's anything out there that really needs me to clean it up. And we find, I have plenty to do here. Full-time entertainment, just taking care of this.
Yeah, because I find that if I go out there unconsciously, that I'm acting unconsciously out in the world. It's just more, you know, grist for the mill of conditioning, right, to beat me up with later on.
Oh, yeah. And adding to the very suffering that I don't want, and I wish nobody had.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Bob. So appreciate it.
Thank you, Sherry. And that brings us to the end of Open Air today, and we will talk to more callers next week.
All right. Looking forward. Thanks.
Thank you.
Go happy.